This one is called I'm Okay, They're Okay, I'm Okay. From the time they found the tumor, I became transformation obsessed. I believed that I must transform myself, whatever that meant, in order to stay alive, in order to survive cancer. I had heard and read plenty of cancer survival stories, which strongly suggested this idea. I was ready to believe that the transformation might be subtle in nature and not necessarily detectable to the outside observer, but transform I must, this I did believe. It is true that I had been a fan of the self-help movement for many years. If it needed to be fixed, those self-help people were talking to me. Throughout my life, I had worked hard on myself to change myself for the better, whatever that meant to me at the time. My hair and my figure, these had been, and still are, pretty much constants in the self-help department, but the range of places to improve in myself extended far and wide. One area that I had wanted to improve for some time was that of my relationship, or lack thereof, to God. So complicated, this God business. The God issue had been a topic for my self-help work for some time. Its compass had extended from listening to tapes of Alan Watts describing Buddhist concepts of reality to making an effort to be nicer to my mother. Speaking of Mom, she was a Catholic. I feel certain that it is impossible to be raised by a Catholic mother and not have a major working knowledge of guilt in all of its forms. Sin, too, was far from an abstract concept in our home, as in the church services we attended. I was raised Episcopalian, my father's religion. Catholicism once removed, sort of. Original sin is part of the Episcopal package, as well as Catholic doctrine. Original sin from church, I got the message that I was tainted and flawed, not pure and perfect, by definition, from birth. Baptism, communion, these helped out clean the slate for a time, but in the end, we frail human folk always screwed up again, if in no other way than by thinking bad things. And back we were into a state of sinfulness. Clearly, self-help city, that's what I was, given some of the beliefs about God and myself with which I had been raised. With the diagnosis of cancer, also came a sense that I had done something rather terribly wrong. That I was something wrong to have developed cancer. If I had been perfect, if I had behaved perfectly, God would not have given me cancer. Everybody knows that. I knew that. The belief that I had totally screwed up to have ended up having gotten cancer functioned like background noise initially. The belief was there, but I was not completely aware of it. Nonetheless, the belief had power and it had an effect on my life. I already believed I was a failure and a loser in other areas of my life. Now here was another way in which I was no good. No way would God have given me cancer if I had not done something really bad. If I was not really bad. Given my state, the obvious goal, fix myself fast. Cancer self-help books and lectures to the rescue. I had to change myself really quick if I wanted to stay alive. More than change myself, dude, change myself. What was that? Earth calling Mary. Hello, this was cancer. I had to transform myself. It had been almost 5 years since they had found the tumor, nearly 4 years since the end of chemo. I had changed a lot and was still changing. I felt a lot better about myself in a number of respects, no question about it. I was more myself somehow, and I was a little more willing to just be myself, both in my life and with other people. I still wanted to weigh less, look better, work out more, read more. The list is literally endless. Still lots to fix. It was spring. I saw an announcement for a 2-hour Saturday workshop at Gilda's Club Manhattan called Art Inspired by Meditation. It was to be run by Judy Tulin, whom I knew nothing about and had never met. I signed up and showed up. It was the first art event I had ever attended at Gilda's Club. Judy had prepared each place at the work table with some sheets of paper with printing on them. One had a quote from Georgia O'Keeffe, which I liked. Then there was a drawing of a flower and a prayer, which read as follows. God, help me become what you created me to be. Help me honor all the seeds you've planted in my life. Help me feel your light and bloom like a brightly colored flower. Help me break free from the dark spaces in my life and spread my wings. This spring and summer, especially help me with. And then there was a long blank area for us to fill in. And then the prayer ended. Thank you, Lord. We were provided with pencils and early on in the workshop asked to fill in the blank space in the prayer. About 6 years prior to the workshop, a person I knew and could not yet get away from had become a very serious problem to me. Very unpleasant. Another unrelated person became unbelievably difficult to me a year or so later. Recently, a third person had behaved very badly and hurt me. I had felt so bad about all three of these people. They all behaved in an awful, nasty, hateful way. But worse, I had gotten caught up in being angry at and upset about each of them. Throughout my day, every day, there they would be, showing up in my inner world, evoking fresh thoughts and feelings of upset and anger. If only I could somehow stop being so preoccupied by them. In the blank space, I wrote that I wanted help, especially with, quote, being at peace with and regarding difficult people, especially so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Close quote. We did meditate for a short time, nothing special. Then we painted or colored or drew whatever we wanted to do. I painted a flower. It was intended to be a self-portrait. Part of it was messy, and part of it was unfinished. That's me, I thought. But it was a pretty color, and I thought it was a rather nice flower, all in all. At the end of the workshop, we each talked about our creation. It was nice, nothing special, pleasant, nothing more. Judy Tulin, I thought, was a nice person. The people at the workshop, only one of whom I knew from another activity, were nice people, good people, nothing special. I walked after the workshop. I had chores at Union Square. I was on the north side of Washington Square Park before it came to me. The thing I had said that I wanted in the fill-in-the-blank space, relief from the internal distress surrounding those people, it had happened. I had had half or three-quarters of an hour of solitude while walking, in which my mind had been open and attentive to my surroundings and experience, rather than angrily chewing over my rage at the three offending people in my life. Something that had been bothering me so greatly for so long, gone. Vanished. I was at peace where I had been at war. There was space inside me where there had been tightness, twistedness before. Gone. As though washed away by water. I had let go of the people involved in my distress, and I had let go of the distress itself. Just let go. The people still existed, but they were just there. Nothing special. They were okay. Nothing less, nothing more. I found myself thinking. Interesting. I often chop vegetables while watching TV in the kitchen. The evening after the art workshop, while cutting salad, I was watching a Crossing Jordan episode that I had recorded a few weeks earlier. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Crossing Jordan, which is no longer being broadcast, it was a series the main character of which is Jordan. She is a very intelligent, hard-working, justice-seeking physician who works in the medical examiner's office of the Boston Police Department. She is a rebel who has little difficulty breaking the rules in order that good may prevail, and she is more than willing to cross other people in the process. Her typical demeanor is caustic. She is an agitator. In this episode, however, she is just back to work after having had life-threatening brain surgery. She has arrived back at work with home-baked cookies for the staff and a crystal to feng shui her office. Cheerfulness, sweetness, and light have replaced her former persona. Jordan has transformed herself into a new person. Before the episode is one-third over, the new Jordan has begun to show cracks, and shades of the former Jordan have begun to reappear. By the end of the hour, our old Jordan is back. At the very end, her boss, Dr. Macy, gently takes her aside. He endorses the change he sees her having made. The change back to her old self. You didn't need to fix anything in you, he says. She was fine the way she was, is his point. If I had been wearing a loose upper denture, it would have dropped to the kitchen floor at that moment. Up until that moment, it had never occurred to me that perhaps I did not need to fix anything in myself, and that the only transformation I needed was to recognize this fact. That would be one huge change. Me? Be okay? And be okay with myself too? the idea that I was not and had never been okay. That was what needed changing. That was what was wrong. I had been and still was okay. This was the truth. I had been okay even with cancer. My being was okay. And it had been okay. My spirit was okay, and it had been okay. My values were okay. Now they were even better. Had there been room for growth? Well, of course there had been room for growth. But I had been fine before cancer. The idea that I was not, that was the flaw, if there had been a flaw. I'm okay. I've always been okay. Knowing this, this is the transformation. It is still going on. After Judy's art workshop, I got angry again, or fearful, or upset by or about the people I listed on my sheet of paper. Nothing horrible, but these people were not in okay land by me every moment of every waking hour after the workshop. One person dropped out of my life, her choice. We parted amicably. She is no longer there to bug me. Another person has been pretty nice to me for quite a while. Once she was flat out lovely to me. I'm really glad I can feel good about her again, at least for a while. The third person has become even more awful. But I'm learning to accept that, one, I can't change this, and two, it's not about me. Even though it feels very personal at times, I make every effort to avoid her. I'm working on not getting upset that I get upset when I get upset. Since I had my Crossing Jordan epiphany, I've criticized myself plenty. Nothing hideous, but complete self-acceptance does not characterize all of my self-observations. When I can, I make efforts to not criticize myself for still criticizing myself. It's messy. I'm not finished. What about you? Does any of this resonate with you? If so, what? And how? What changes, if any, does your recognition suggest to you? Gilda's Club is an organization which has helped many people who have received a diagnosis of cancer. It is established in several cities in the United States and can be accessed by Googling Gilda's Club and seeing if there is one where you live.